thinking, reason with the light and the meaning that sways her radical ways that favor the many rooms she roams. There is where you find no answer and questions to remember, but no door has been able to stop the war. Rain or shine, it doesn't matter, we are clear as the water.
Hello everyone, welcome to Queerfully. We are your hosts, Mickey
and Blythe.
And as always, Scout and Zero, who are the most important.
They're a little high right now. They just got new Halloween toys.
With cats.
Zero might be having a bad trip. She's running in circles a lot.
Well, is she?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, she is. So, today is our first day of Movie Club Sungaze.
You were so proud of that when you figured it out and you sent it to me at work. And you're like, what do you think of this?
It was actually not me. I have to give Jess a credit. Credit to Jess. We're doing great today. I have to give credit to Jess. She was like, what about Movie Sungaze? And I was like, I mean, yes.
There's really no other way to go about it.
No.
No.
So, welcome. So, our Movie Club Sunday episodes are episodes.
Aren't you glad we're back? You can tell we totally had a restful weekend off.
So there are episodes where we discuss movies that you have all suggested. Got chocolate on my
She's
face.
She's literally licking her finger.
I have chocolate on my face. So yes, okay, back to business. So we're going to do one episode every month on the last Sunday of the month where we will discuss a movie that you, the audience, has chosen, and it doesn't matter whether we like the movie or whether we don't like the movie, or if we've even watched the movie, but whatever gets the most amount of votes out of movies that have been suggested, we will do.
Yep, we are at your whim.
Yes. And then I guess we also, if you hear the cats running around, we're sorry, but...
They are really high.
They
I wasn't
are really
joking.
High. We also wanted to apologize for missing an episode last week, so when... episodes all of a sudden don't come out of nowhere. It's mostly because my arthritis is really bad, so I've actually had some pretty bad flare-ups here and there lately. I am blaming wedding stress for
well,
that
and the change in the weather and a change in a med, but it's been pretty bad for you lately.
So. Yeah, so if there's ever an episode that gets delayed, it's usually because of that, and I'm sorry. Arthritis sucks.
Do you want to go into some detail about what kind of stuff happens to you, or do you want to just leave it as arthritis sucks?
Well, I mean, I guess I can.
Just
I don't
do
know
a little
if people
bit of arthritis awareness.
Well, it is Arthritis Awareness Month
is
in
it?
Canada.
Oh, it is. It's still a September.
It's still September. Yeah. So I'm sorry for all of those of you who are not interested in hearing this, but it'll be fast and quick.
You should be interested. It's human life.
It is human life. So most of my rheumatoid arthritis presents in my hands and legs for the most part. Mm-hmm. It makes me swell up like a little empanada. And it really does hinder the movement of my hands and what I can, like, things that I can hold, things that I can't hold, things that I can do. Like, sometimes I have trouble brushing my teeth or, like, opening bottles.
When you first started presenting and we didn't know what it was, your hands were going numb because they were so swollen.
Yeah. So my tendons were swelling, I guess it was.
Yeah.
Everything was swollen. My nerves were compressed.
To give
sure.
an idea of how swollen she gets when she has a really bad flare-up, last year around Christmas, there were a pair of shoes that couldn't fit on her feet. We couldn't even get them on her feet.
I couldn't even get socks on
my feet.
We couldn't
even get them on. And then a few months later, after she'd been on the steroids and the meds and all that stuff, when she got her diagnosis, her feet were so small, they wouldn't...
They were way too big for the shoes.
Off of her feet. So yeah. That's the range we're talking about. So yeah, when she flares up, it's a little bit tough.
Yeah. And that flare-up back in on Christmas, it was really bad. And then I went on... So... arthritis medicine takes about 3-ish months to actually start working. So my doctor had put me on steroids at the beginning, right, because my swelling was so bad that I couldn't sit down for long periods.
I couldn't
dress myself, couldn't cook for myself, I couldn't even brush my own teeth. It was such great fun, everybody, and I was still going to work like the dumbass that I am.
Yeah.
So that was also another layer of fun. But, I got put on these steroids, and within, like, 3 days, I lost, like, 3 dress sizes, yep. and like I could fit into socks again, and all of my clothes was really baggy on yep. me. It was wild.
It was crazy.
It was a lot of swelling. But the craziest part for me was that my blood test then and my blood tests now show that I have 0 inflammation.
Yeah, because you have seronegative rheumatoid arthritis.
Yep. But even like my indicator, my rheumatologist was saying this past week, she's like, it's really weird that it's below average. And I was like, well, clearly my blood lies.
Well, yeah, if anybody is going to be like, you know what? No, you don't get to know my secrets. It's going to be you.
That's true. But yes.
So that's a little bit of an explanation. So if we have to take an arthritis break, that's usually why. I'm happy to come and try and do the episode by myself.
I mean, you could.
But that would probably be dangerous for most people, including me.
Oh, and what that actually has a lot to do with that hinders us doing the episodes is that my body actually works a lot harder and I'm waking up at night because I'm swollen and I'm in pain. And if my flare-ups are really bad, they're also really bad in my knees, where I also have osteoarthritis, which means that I wake up a lot at night in pain.
You can't sit for long periods of time. So the idea of recording an episode is just out the window.
And I'm also just tired all the time because my body's like, I'm putting in so much effort for you to keep doing all your stupid normal things.
Yeah.
But yes, chronic illnesses and chronic pain are a lot of fun. But thank you for still sticking around if you are still here. And for showing me, I guess, that it's okay that we take a break every so often. I wish it didn't happen, but sometimes it just has to.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you finally realized that.
Yes, but we will do some little bonus episodes for you to make it up. Probably some, like, quiz episodes or maybe just some video diaries of how Scout is sitting right now.
Yeah,
it's really funny.
I know.
She looks like a raccoon. Anyway, so to today's episode.
All right.
So for Movie Club Sunday, we are doing Imagine
Me and You.
Are you sure it's not You and Me?
Imagine Me and You.
Imagine Me and You.
It's Imagine. Why did you do this?
I don't know.
It's Imagine Me and You.
Okay. I mean, we just watched it, so I really should know what it's called, because we...
It's Imagine Me and You. Don't... Okay. I'm always right.
Yes, you are. So we did Imagine Me and You. This was a movie that got, like, over 100 votes, but it was still super close to Disobedience. It was, like, 38% to 37%.
I can't wait till we do Disobedience. It's gonna have to happen soon.
Oh, I'm terrified.
But I've decided to start adding other votes in. Now that we've done Imagine Me and You, I want to add Debs into the voting pool.
Yeah, but we don't get to choose.
No, but I'm putting it into the poll.
Yeah, but people suggest these movies.
Yeah, and
first.
I came in as a non-biased.
Okay. You still are part of this show.
All right.
Okay, so we did Imagine Me and You, and I know that Jess, who is Quality Girl on Twitter and Instagram, and has the website alesbianandherlaptop.com, will also be posting something about it.
Yep.
So this movie was released in 2005. That was 14 years ago.
Let's not do that.
I'm not even going to say how
we're not
was
talking about
yes.
that.
And it was directed and written by, I had his name right here, the guy that also did Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again.
Okay.
I know that Jess has his name on the post, so we'll
right.
just go
we'll
for
go
that.
That.
So full disclosure.
I knew this was coming.
The first time we watched this movie was probably like, what, 2010, 2011?
Right after he moved, so maybe 2013.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. I did not like this movie the first time we watched it. Like, at all.
And while Mickey has a tendency to hate things she should like, and I'm not going to go into that, I have to say, I didn't necessarily dislike it. I was wildly ambivalent about it.
Yeah.
And I'd heard such good things, and I'd watched it, and I was
everybody loved it.
And everybody was super excited about it, and I was like, okay.
Maybe it was because everybody was so hyped about it. Maybe we thought it was, like, this, like, wildly amazing, incredible movie. And I'm sure that to some people it is, but it's a rom-com.
It's a rom-com.
We also don't really like rom-coms very much.
See, I do, but there's specific things. I can see why I was very ambivalent about it before.
Yeah.
And I liked it more this time. And I think
I
you
liked
did
it more
too.
This time, yeah.
But I do have a series of issues that we will get into.
Yes. But let's start with, like, things we liked.
Okay, well,
let's keep the listeners here for now.
Well, let's talk about the two leading ladies. There's Lena Headey. Is that her name? How you say her name? I've never said it out loud, Lena. Lena. Lena Headey. Okay, I was never really into her. She real pretty in this movie. Yes, she real pretty.
Yes, she is.
Apparently, I was just like, no, before, because I have a very strong Game of Thrones buffer.
Yeah, probably. But was Game of Thrones really that big in our lives at that point? Yeah, I guess
it
was.
In 2013, by then, yeah, it was.
You're right, it was.
Well, speaking of that, because the first season of Game of Thrones had a Comic-Con panel the year that we met, and I know that because we were at Comic-Con, but speaking of the other actress, Piper Perabo, so...
She was real out of it. It was that panel for that show where she was a spy.
I can't remember, it was on USA.
And her co, like, her partner or whatever, the person that she worked with, which I think she ended up dating, Augie,
I don't,
was blind. I cannot remember. I don't remember.
That's not the point. The point is, we were, it was the USA show, and we were in that room because we were waiting for the psych panel.
Yes.
Watch psych. It's great. But she was really, really high.
Well, was she high?
I don't know. There was something up with her,
though.
Yeah,
it was a little bit weird. Like, she is, okay, now I'm wondering if I remember this right, but she either talked too much or not at all.
She talked a lot, and she talked really distractedly.
Yeah,
and we were just sitting there looking at each other like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah, like, she kept, like, looking in every direction. Like, she was not there.
Maybe she was nervous, and she had a drink, and it all went wrong.
Maybe, but still, that was a very...
It was interesting.
It was a very weird moment in time.
Yeah.
I remember sitting there being like, I like the show, but I have no idea what's happening right now.
Yeah, it's true. Well, you also have to give her credit. She's okay, well, first of all, she was in Coyote Ugly, which Mickey hasn't seen, which we need to rectify.
I thought it was Billy Piper. No, it was Piper.
We have talked about this so many times. Billy Piper was not in Coyote Ugly. But we need to get that. But before, actually, right after that, I used to think it was before that because she looks really young. She was in another queer movie. It's a movie called Lost in Delirious. It's that queer movie I will never, ever, ever let you see.
Why? Oh, is it really sad?
It's really, really sad.
Okay, let's talk about how bad sad movies are for me. So, I don't know if any of you have watched My Girl.
If you haven't, where the hell have you been?
Well, it was not a movie that was popular everywhere. I'd never even heard about
well,
it until I met you.
Spoilers for My Girl, I guess.
Yeah, well, spoilers for My Girl. If you are not interested at all in the spoilers, you can skip ahead. But there's a scene in My Girl, which is about a little girl. And
Anna Klumsky, also known for Veep.
Yep. And she has a best friend that's, God, it's that little boy.
It's Macaulay Culkin.
Yes, Macaulay Culkin. And he wears glasses. Oh, my God. Okay.
Okay, maybe I dies. Tell this. He dies. He has an allergic reaction to bee stings, and he dies.
And this is, like, what, an hour into the movie, maybe?
Yeah.
Maybe less. And I cried from that moment on until the end of the movie, and then another 3 hours.
Yeah, for the to the point oh where she God. Was so mad at me for making her watch it that she, I think she legitimately considered breaking up with me.
I wouldn't have been surprised. I was so upset.
She was so upset.
It was so sad. Her best friend dies, and they are children, and you didn't tell me that this was a sad movie.
I'm pretty
sure
I did.
This is a great movie.
It is a great movie.
It's a great movie.
Moving on. Anyway, this is why Lost in Delirious is like that times a thousand.
Is it like that movie? Oh, that movie with Jillian Jacobs?
It is a lot like that.
Yeah.
What was that movie called?
I can't remember, but I loved it. Bless you.
Bless you.
I don't know if you can hear Ciro sneezing, but that's her sneezing.
Oh. Something of the Night. Garden of the Night.
Gardens of the Night. Gardens in the Night?
Gardens of the Night.
Gardens and Nighttime.
Okay, well, we're going off the beaten path.
Yes.
Anyway, yes, queer movie Lost in Delirious. For those of you who can handle a really, really sad movie, I would recommend watching it, but it is definitely the epitome of the upsetting lesbian film. It's very good, though. Granted, I haven't watched it in a long time. I might hate it now.
That's true.
Anyway, I'm just saying we gotta give Piper...
What are you doing, Zero?
She's literally trying to climb the wall.
She's really high.
Honey, it's okay.
Okay, I think she's calm now.
I think she's fine.
Yes.
Okay, so here is what I'm saying about Piper Perabo. She may not be of the gay, but she has done many things for the gay. She's done these two queer movies and Coyote Ugly, which may as well be a queer movie.
I have no idea what Coyote Ugly is even about.
It's about girls who work at a bar and dance on it.
They dance on the building or on the bar?
On the building. Bar. Yeah, sure. They get up on the building and do roof dances.
I mean...
No, they dance on the bar.
But why?
Well, okay.
We'll watch the movie at some point.
Thank you.
I might get shamed for this. But, okay, so back to the movie.
That we're actually here to talk about.
Yes. So let's talk about the things that we liked. I definitely liked it better this time.
Me too.
Are
we going to go through the movie, or are we just going to do points?
Well, okay, I guess for anybody that hasn't actually watched the movie, I'll do a quick summary. Piper Perabo, a.k.a. Rachel, is getting married, and...
to the weirdest nicknamed guy in the world.
Yes, Heck. For Hector, or Hecky. Hecky-decky. And during her wedding, she sees the... I almost called her the flower girl. She is a flower girl.
Okay, can I just say, this movie is basically a flower shop AU.
It is. That's exactly what it is. But the woman that arranges the flowers for her wedding and her reception is there, and she catches a glance at her while she's walking down the aisle, and it's like the gay stare. And she falls in love with her, but she doesn't quite know, and then she keeps trying befriending her, and she tries to set her up with some dude, and then she's like, LOL, I'm gay. And a lot of stuff happens, but basically, Rachel, or Piper Perabo, finds out that she really is in love with this girl, woman, lady, and that, you know, she can't stay married. And
okay, we'll talk about that later, but they end up together the end.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Yes. Okay, so what we liked about this movie, her little sister H is the best thing that has ever happened.
Agreed.
I am this child because she says, you look like a meringue when she's wearing, when Rachel is wearing her wedding dress. She also says, what is it? This is all that you need to know about.
This is all that you need to know about the universe.
Yeah. And the fact that she asks whether or not penguins have knees. And I felt that so deeply. Because I, too, love penguins. And I, too, was a youngin' that was like, but do they have knees? Do they have elbows?
You say that like you don't ask questions like that all the time now.
I mean, I do.
You do. Okay, so you're the little sister. I am Edie, who keeps, like, running the grocery cart into them, being like, we're talking about you now! That's me.
That is you.
Okay.
100%. The other part that I was like, yes, I am 100% somebody in this movie was... So at some point, Rachel decides to watch some porn. I couldn't tell if it was gay porn or not.
Yeah, it was girl-on-girl porn. It said it in big letters on the movie.
Oh, did it?
Yes.
But it was called George's Bush.
Georgie's Bush.
Oh, that's very different. I was thinking about her, and I was like, but... I'm so confused. Okay, so she watches girl-on-girl porn to try and see how she's feeling.
Well, she doesn't actually watch the porn.
She tries to watch the porn, and then her husband walks in. But her reaction at the porn is me at nudity all the time, mm-hmm. where she's just like, no, this is not a thing. Goodbye. We're just going to put the movie away now. And she's like freaked out by it. That is...
Except
definitely
then there's the awesome queer person behind the counter who's like, nah, girl, you gotta see this. Wink.
Yeah. But I still wouldn't see it.
I don't think you've probably ever watched porn.
I've never watched porn. I don't think I ever would watch porn. It is a rom-commy film. And it's a very cute-ish rom-commy film, I guess. I don't really like rom-coms, though, so I don't...
Okay.
Eh.
Well, as a counterpoint to that, I do.
Yes.
I enjoy rom-coms when they're good. Yeah. Like, I love me some Sleepless in Seattle.
I love me some You've Got Mail.
They're really good rom-coms out there.
That's true. I do love those, too.
But I don't like the
cheesy rom-coms, I guess.
What would you define as a cheesy rom-com?
Most rom-coms out there, and this one. Like, it's a very plain rom-com.
I agree. It is, in theory, like, theoretically, overall, it is a plain rom-com. I think what's supposed to give it the, like, twist is that they're queer.
Yeah. And though I do appreciate that there is a rom-com with two women loving women, it's, like, I would prefer this over, like, the regular rom-com, but,
eh. Yeah.
It's just not my kind of movie.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I like the rom-commy part of it.
Yeah.
The scenes, like, I love the scene where they go play, it's not DDR, is it? It's the other one.
No, it is DDR.
It's DDR.
But listen, DDR is the wrong one.
Oh my God.
Pump It Up is where it's at. If you're not playing Pump It Up, why are you playing at all?
By the way, I have video of Mickey doing Pump It Up on her birthday, and if she's not nice to me, I'm going to put it up on the internet.
Please don't.
So, where they go and play DDR, and it's a super fucking cute scene. I love that. That was the moment where I was like, okay, I'm not giving this movie a fair shot. But here, I mean, I don't want to jump into things I don't like. So, I enjoyed the movie as a whole.
I enjoy most of the characters as a whole.
I like the relationship they have. I like them.
Yes. I also like Luce's mom,
yeah,
who calls them coffin dodgers. And that is what I'm going to use for old people from now on, but especially about me.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that I'm a coffin dodger. I haven't even hit 30 yet, but I'm a coffin dodger.
You have arthritis, so yeah.
Yes, I am.
The other one I like is Giles. I don't know what his name is in this movie, but he's Giles.
He is Giles.
I love him because he's so wonderfully weird in this movie. It's like he's got a constant face twitch and... He's actually a very sweet guy in that scene they have where he's like, I have never thought that I was good enough for your mom, but no matter what you do, I want you to follow your heart.
Yeah.
That was cheesy, but it was the perfect kind of cheesy.
Yeah. I also have a soft spot for those movies where, like, the dad and the daughter get along really great because that was definitely not my experience. So I'm always like, oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, I really love that scene. And he was very Giles-y. And I have a lot of Buffy feelings, so I feel like that probably informed it. But it was very well done.
Yeah.
Because at that point, the movie could have teetered into, like, a coming-out film, where it became all about the fact that she was gay. But it cut that out right underneath it and was just like, I want you to be happy. You can drive my car. We'll find her.
Yeah. And also, that is something that I did like about this movie, where she does realize that she has not-so-straight feelings only. And that she could potentially be in love with a woman, and that it's not about, like, the movie isn't about her coming out.
No.
It's about her realizing it and being like, oh shit, what do I do?
What do I do? I'm married and this is how I'm feeling.
Exactly.
So if we want to stick with what I like them. I like that. Mm-hmm. I like their clothes because it's all shit that I would wear.
Yeah,
I really love the end. It was a very cute rom-com-y end that I enjoyed, where she calls her and she can hear the guy singing, and then she hangs up on her, and then the guy singing comes by and they stand on the car and they run and kiss. I love that.
Yeah,
it's perfect rom-com-y. If it was like that all the way through, I would have been so jazzed. This would have been one of my favorite fucking queer movies.
Yeah, I think that it's also probably a testament to the time as well.
Yeah.
So this movie was rated R.
Which I don't understand. It was just probably because they were gay, but they didn't even take off their clothes.
Nope. Not at all.
Not at all.
Not at all.
I don't know.
The other thing that I do like, though, is that there was, and I hope that it's not an indicator for anything, but when Heck and Rachel are at that auction, and she keeps saying, my couch, and he's like, our couch. I do that because, to me, when I say my bed, I mean my side of the bed. I just drop some.
No. It's not like that.
But sometimes it is.
My turn to talk. So it's more about how she says my bed, but she'll also say things like my bedroom or my apartment. And I'm like, you know, we literally, no. This is literally, she'll be like, well, if we do this in my bedroom, I'm like, what bedroom do you have that I don't have?
None. It's just that in Spanish, or at least in my family. No, listen. At least in my family, like, when I was growing up, it was always like, it's always a possessive, like, my, like, mi casa, not nuestra casa. So it wasn't ever, like, our house. It was always my house. But then again, I did grow up with a very egotistical man. So maybe he did think that his house was just his.
I would buy that.
Yeah.
But stop it, because it's my house too.
It is your house too. I'm sorry. But I do sometimes, when I say my bed, I usually mean my side of the bed. I just, for some reason, just drop the side. And I'm like, my bed.
Well, the thing is, you also, your side you think is a lot bigger than it is.
And we're airing this out on the podcast?
Yes, we are. Little Miss, I roll over Starfish and then blame me for you not having any space.
No, you steal the blanket every night.
No,
that's probably
I don't.
Why I'm over there.
No, I don't.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, let's move on.
But yeah, I do like that, you know, there's some of the jokes that were really cute. The fact that the movie wasn't necessarily like a big momentous coming out.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, that was not really the...
It wasn't the point.
The climax.
Yeah.
Like, that wasn't the plot. That wasn't the problem. And that there is a lot of gay looks. Oh, also, I did want to say, at the beginning of the movie, when she's getting married, she stops at a McDonald's because she has to pee. I feel like that would be me if I wasn't so much of a germaphobe with bathrooms. Also, I'd probably be like, I need to pee, pull over.
Cleanest McDonald's in the history of the world. That's how you can tell it's a movie.
Yeah, that's true.
You would never want to go into a fucking McDonald's in your wedding dress.
No, or at least not here. But I feel like if I wasn't so much of a germaphobe, that is 100%.
It's 100 million percent something I would do.
Yeah, gotta pee.
I went to Del Taco in my prom dress.
Yes, you did.
I'm not kidding. I did. You did. That's where we went for dinner. And the other thing I do like about the movie is it does have a happy ending, which for a queer movie is rare.
Yeah. And they do have some great quotes like, am I gay? I'm ecstatic.
I'm ecstatic. The gif, yeah.
Yeah.
And the you're a wanker number 9. Which my favorite thing is that Mickey used to think that quote was you're a wanker number 69.
Listen. Wouldn't that make sense though?
No.
Yeah, it also makes it funny.
It's funny already.
Yeah, but okay. It could be funnier.
But just in general, the happy ending, you got to give props to the happy ending because that's what makes it also a little bit different for this movie to stand out a little bit is that in the end there is a lot of angst in it, but it's not the point.
It's also not super heavy angst.
No. And it's very much about that. And I was actually reading this other book. I think it's called She. And it's a book about, it's like a book of essays and it's like an ethnography mixed with a research book on lesbian identity in the UK in the 90s. Mm. But they were talking about the history of queer film and lesbian film in particular and lesbian stories and all that stuff about how there is that unhappy lesbian trope that is still a thing today. But the reason they did it in the past, they were talking about, was because that was the only way you could have a queer or lesbian storyline in a public way was for them to have an unhappy ending.
Oh, interesting.
So the only way that people would
accept
it... Because
they didn't want it to be...
Yeah.
Gays can be happy too.
So, like, you could get that narrative, but in order for it to be publicly acceptable and exist, they would have to be sad.
Yeah.
Which I get it in the past makes sense, but it's something that's continued.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's...
I feel like that's also why there's a lot of queering of media.
Exactly.
Is because, like, well, take for example Xena, where they couldn't have made them gay.
Well.
Blatantly gay from the beginning.
Yeah, well, they're blatantly gay in season 6.
Yeah,
but
they absolutely are. But it's still not like...
But it's definitely, it's why queer women especially latch onto these narratives.
Yeah.
And that's why you and I have a differing opinion than I think a lot of people have regarding subtext.
Yeah.
Which we'll get into another time. But yeah, it's interesting that this is the bright spot of this movie is that it's a happy ending.
Yeah. And that none of it is really, like, Luce's mom is completely fine with her being queer.
Yep.
Like, she doesn't care.
Yeah.
She's completely fine with her being gay. Sorry, because that's the term that she uses.
Yeah.
And, you know, aside from one of the comments that Rachel's mom makes about how there's plenty of other men.
Yeah.
It does, like, it's not a thing. They don't stop her.
No.
They don't, like, disown her or anything. They're like, yeah, just go.
And even then, like 5 minutes later when they kiss, she's, like, all happy and excited for her. So it's not a major barrier.
Yeah, which is pretty rare, especially around 2005.
Yeah.
Pretty rare. So it's still rare today.
The happy ending itself is rare.
Yeah.
But I think that's where we have to give this movie props.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it is special because of that.
Yeah.
And once I let myself enjoy that a little bit more, that was where I was like, yeah, okay, it's really cute. I love their relationship. I love their dynamic. They're really silly together.
Yeah.
And they're happy.
Yeah. And the storyline isn't... I have some issues with the storyline, but it isn't overall terrible.
No.
Like, it's what you would expect from a hetero rom-com for the most part. Like, there's some stuff that I feel... Well, okay, I'll just get into it. So there seems to be a persistent theme in this movie that I wasn't too impressed with. And it's the fact that she's married and she falls in love with a woman. That there's two gay men in the forest that are having sex with each other and they've just met. Which has
that's
this, like, undertone of, like, you
that's
know, promiscuity.
It's also, yeah.
And on top of that, there's also Coop, who's the fucking worst.
Okay, so can I just say about...
Hold on, let me just finish. There's Coop, who tells Luce that she's basically a whore, even though she didn't do anything. And so that's like, it's the underlying theme with these three things in particular, where it's like the gay folk in this movie are, you know, cheating on their spouses, mm-hmm. or being promiscuous in the forest, or they're considered like, you know, dumb sluts when really they didn't do, like, yes, they kissed,
okay.
and that's still infidelity, but it's not like she took her away,
no.
you know? So it's like that underlying theme of, like, gay people are...
Predators,
pretty much.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. I have many things to add to that.
Yes.
Okay, let's start with the dumb slut comment.
Oh.
So Coop, in general, is the fucking worst. He starts out bad, and then he bottoms out as far as he possibly can.
Yeah.
He, you know, he tries to turn her back to being straight. He gets mad that she won't let him get his dick wet. Like... Oh. It's rough. And then he has the audacity, after he was the one that was like, I will sleep with them, you know, if they have a... You have chocolate on your bra. I'll sleep with them. If they have a partner, that's their problem. She doesn't even do that. And he has the audacity to come to her place of work and call her a dumb slut.
Yeah.
The fucking worst. So, moving from that...
Also, the fact that he was like, anyone can change teams. And then he's like, except for me.
Yeah. He's the worst. Every worst straight guy stereotype, except for the fact that he doesn't actually try and sexually assault anybody.
Yeah.
That we know of.
Did he steal the baby at the end?
That's all I want to know.
Probably.
Okay.
But, I mean, he does kind of sexually assault her. Like, he doesn't do it physically.
No.
But he is chasing after her. That is assault.
He's following her when she says no.
Yeah.
Okay. But moving past that, the majority of male characters in this movie are caricatures. The only one who has a little bit more depth is Heck.
Yeah.
And I'll talk about him separately. But, like, the guy who shows up looking for a breakup plant. The guy who's like, this is my last chance cactus that looks like a penis. Like,
why would you buy somebody a breakup flower?
Because dudes, I don't know.
Just now they have to take care of something that you gave them when you broke up with them. I would throw that flower right... I would shove that flower.
You don't like getting flowers.
So, this is true, but still.
The one time I bought you flowers, I sent you sunflowers from California, and you get them, and you're like, but we have fruit flies.
We did have fruit
flies. But I didn't know that. It was sweet.
Okay. It was sweet. I just really don't like flowers.
But, you know, they're very much a caricature, which in some ways is actually interesting because the movie was written by a man.
Yeah.
So you got to give him props for that. However, drawing back to the idea of the queers being unfaithful, well, the lesbian being unfaithful, that's my biggest concern with this movie, is that the whole plot revolves around, it's an infidelity plot.
Yep.
Granted, it's not as bad as it normally is. They don't have an actual affair. They kind of have like an emotional flirtation affair and then they kiss. So it's not quite so bad.
Yeah.
But the majority of the movie is about how she's married to a man and she has feelings for a woman and she's suffering. When all the problems would have been solved if she talked to her husband.
Yep.
Why don't straight people communicate with each other?
And that's actually something that I had written down, where Heck goes to talk to Luce and he says...
I can't ask her. Is that the whole thing?
Yeah. Where he says, I can't ask her if there's anything wrong that's way too scary. And it's like, but what, like, if you're concerned about there being a problem, even if it is scary, you might want to know what
it is. Exactly. Like, it's astounding.
In my opinion,
it's the same thing with her parents, Rachel's parents, because they have that whole thing at the end, which is like, hey, we can have sex again. You just have to be nicer to me.
Yeah.
Which is horrible.
And I'll take some pills.
It's horrifying on its own. But the fact that, like, they've been married for, like, 40 years, and they have clearly never talked about that.
Yep.
How do you function in a relationship like that?
Well, it plays really heavily on that heteronormative, like, even from the beginning of the movie. So we have Rob, who...
Is that his name?
His coworker, Hex coworker.
Oh, right, yeah.
Who goes up to Rachel and says that white is for virgins. Like, what the fuck? That's really gross.
Yeah.
And then there's... Coop, who is just inherently the worst, has a bunch of, like, really gross het jokes in his speech.
Who is
about,
the one
like,
that
being
calls...
boring and, like, oh, like...
See, I didn't take that as straight people.
See, but the thing is, it's that idea that being married or being in a committed relationship is boring.
See, I can see that.
Or will, like, kill you. It's like the ball and chain.
Ball and chain thing. See, I get that, but for some reason that didn't pop out at me as that until looking back on it now. To me, it was mostly like, oh, these guys are just, like, they're, like, a silly all they like to do is hang out at home and be comfy together, which, you know, as someone who is in a relationship where that's true, that does happen.
Yeah, but like, and no, I get you're totally fine.
Looking back on it now, absolutely, I can see where you're coming
from. It's a very recurring theme of like, oh, your life is now over because you're married. And then, you know, Heck brings it up with Rachel's dad as well, where he's like, you know, like, did you guys have like a slump basically after you got married? And it's like, why aren't you just talking to your wife?
But the thing, I have to give props to the character of Heck though, because Heck is the one person who doesn't act like that.
Yep.
The one shitty thing he does is pretend to be asleep when she's trying to be really honest with him.
There's another part that I thought was really shitty.
Which one?
Where they're in the forest and the two gay guys say, oh, we just met. And he says, yeah, sometimes I feel like that's true for
See,
us.
See, I didn't...
Oh, I just hate
why it. Why does that bother you?
Because it's like, why are you slighting your wife with people you don't know? Like, if you're having an issue, which you clearly are... Talk it out with her. Don't say this in front of other people.
And keep talking about it. See, the thing is, for me, I could have, based on the facial expression that she makes, I can see that. But at the same time, to me, it felt like these guys met and they had a connection.
Yeah.
And they've talked about this whole, like, you meet and there's an instant moment. To me, that almost felt like it could have been. That's how I still feel like I did the moment we met.
Oh, see, to me, it was completely different.
But based on the face
different.
She makes, it's clearly not that. But at the same time, that's how I would have taken it.
Yeah.
But the whole falling asleep, pretending to have fallen asleep when she's bearing her soul to him about it and trying to be honest, and she's not doing it in an accusatory way. She's crying. She's saying that she's sorry. She's trying to talk to him, and he just pretends to be asleep.
Yeah. And see, that one didn't bother me
so much. Oh, it makes me so mad.
And I think it's because of the way I saw it was a little bit different. I saw it more as he was clearly very drunk. And he's kind of falling asleep already, but maybe he knows that it would be easier not to have that confrontation then, or for his own self-preservation, he didn't want to have that confrontation then. Okay. Like,
I will give you that.
I wish that they had just talked
about
it.
This is what I'm saying. I'll give you that because it's on her that she tried to have that conversation with him when he was drunk.
Yeah.
That right there is a bad move.
Yeah.
His response to it, for someone who's been going all around town trying to talk about what's wrong,
is to not talk about it.
Yeah. And then I can't tell, do they just not talk about it at all until he tries to bail in the middle of her happy birthday?
I'm assuming that they've talked about it. I'm assuming that they have. I don't know.
Because he's like,
that's basically what it cuts into.
Because it's like, oh, hey, I can't deal with this right now. But the time he's going to deal with it is literally when her family is bringing out her birthday cake, singing happy birthday.
At that point, I was like, okay, Heck, you're handling this okay-ish, like better than I would have expected, which I don't know if that's a terrible thing that has been ingrained into me at this point. But yeah, it's like right in the middle of her birthday party, he's like, I can't do this. You're in love with somebody else. And it's like, oh my God.
I couldn't wait until later or have this conversation before.
Yeah. Or just be like, just pretend. Be like, oh, I feel really ill. I'm going to go lay down or I'm going to go home.
And then deal with it when it's not in front of her family.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I have to say the flip side of that, the thing with Heck, is that at the end of the day, he is not a shitty guy.
No.
Because as sad as he is, he doesn't get angry. He's like, I love you so much that I want you to be happy. And if I'm not the one that's going to make you happy, you need to go be happy, even if it's going to break my heart.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Coming from a guy in one of these films.
Huge, like, different characterization for the men who are quote-unquote slighted by events like this. Like, whether it was between her and another man or her and a woman, like, usually this is not how it goes.
No, it's this at is, all whatsoever. This is huge.
And usually in movies, if it's falling in love with a girl, it's also sometimes worse.
It is worse. They get really angry.
Yeah.
But
especially with, like, fucking Coop, where he was like,
he probably, oh, yeah. Let's
not even talk. He would have fucking exploded.
But, like, and if you look at the poster for the movie, and I feel like maybe this is part of what tainted me towards the movie at the same time. Have you seen the poster for the movie?
Yeah, the one where she's in the wedding dress and they're holding hands.
But then she's leaning back and holding hands with her.
Yeah.
That is such a bad stereotype and visual. Yep. I hate that.
I remember that the first time that we watched the movie, I actually expected it to be about the two of them having an affair when they were both married or both seeing somebody else, which kind of does happen. They do have an emotional affair. But I will give it the benefit of the doubt that it was her trying to figure out her feelings.
Okay, here's my other concern, though. She's trying to, she definitely has that thing where it's like love at first sight, right? Which you and I can decide if that's true, considering you say that you fell in love with me at first sight. But
I mean, we had met online, okay, but yes.
So she sees Luce and she immediately is intrigued and is just like can't help herself, which I love that idea. Like, as a rom-com on its own, I love that idea. My issue with it also is that she was happy. I don't think she was unhappy with Heck.
I don't think so.
And they built this whole thing up where she's getting married. She's excited about it. She wakes up excited. You know, she's been waiting for her alarm to go off. She's not terrified of getting married. She's excited and happy. And they show this whole thing of they've been best friends forever. And they were friends and they got married. And it was like she clearly cared about him enough and loved him enough to want to marry him. Why does that all of a sudden completely go away because she has feelings for this woman?
See, that I don't know, because I feel like you can have both.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying.
Or because she talks about it when she's talking to Heck at some point where she says, I want to try and make it work because I was in love with you once. I'm sure it can happen again. So it's like, did you really fall out of love?
But that's not right what she then. Says. I think she says, you were my best friend once and you can be my...
No, she says, I was in love with you once and it can happen again. I'm pretty sure.
Is that when he's drunk?
I think so.
Because I heard best friend.
I don't know.
We have to... But regardless,
yeah,
she does consider him her best friend. She's been with him for a really long time. She was happy. Yeah. So why do those feelings become invalidated because she gets feelings for a woman? That's my issue.
Yeah.
Because as much as I love the relationship that she has with Luce and she's happy and she's having these feelings that she hasn't had before, I feel like it invalidates certain identities.
Yeah.
To say that because she's in love with this woman now, her feelings for this man that she's been with completely shut down.
Yeah. Well, on the counter side of that, it could have been that she loves Heck, but maybe she didn't realize until then that she wasn't in love with him.
I mean, that's fair.
Because they were best friends, and then, you know, she says that they then fell in love, but it's like, what, did they? I mean, or maybe he did, and she didn't, but she thought it was. She was happy.
They were, clearly, everything was going fine. They had a great emotional relationship, they had a great physical relationship, you know, it seemed...
Up until they got married. Which is another problem.
But it's also, I don't think it's tied to the marriage so much as it's tied to her seeing Luce, which again, bothers me.
But at the same time, I feel like it just perpetuates that idea that once you get married, it's all over.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, like, yes, it's because of Luce in this case, but it's a fact that she saw her for the first time at her wedding. And so things changed.
Immediately.
Yeah. Right? So that's a stereotype that really annoys me because I feel like people can be married and be happy. There's a lot of people that
really
are married.
I really hope you feel that way. We're getting married like next month.
But you know, I feel like there are a lot of people who are married and they are happy and they are in love. And on the flip side, there's a lot of people who are married that are not happy. And you know, both instances happen, but I just find it so frustrating that in so many movies, especially like rom-com-y movies, you get that the moment that you get married, it sucks.
Yeah.
And it's over. Like it's such a like societal thing too.
Yeah.
Like you see it so much, even in like wedding pictures nowadays. Yeah. Where it's like, oh, like, this is the last chance. Or
even, because we've been getting married. So watching this movie was like, oh, great. I thought I'd be able to get rid of my wedding stress for like 2 hours. But no. if you look at wedding toppers, where we look through, there are so many wedding toppers where the bride is dragging the groom to the altar or away from something he likes doing, like fishing or, you know, playing a game. Like, there's so many bridal toppers that are like that.
Yeah, or there's, like, those, like, little signs for the kids to hold that it's like, this is your last chance to run away. And it's like...
Yeah. Why are you getting married?
Why are you getting married if you're thinking like that?
See, and the thing is, I know that there are a lot of straight relationships that are not like that.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people... And I feel like it must be kind of hard for those who have them. But it is a... It's that you hear it in real life. People say that shit.
Yeah.
And it's like, why do you date then?
I think it's because a societal expectation where it's like, you know, it's one of the steps that you have to do in life where you're not a stable grown-up until you have a job, you get married, you have kids. And I think that that societal expectation actually hurts a lot of people because they feel like this is something that they have to do. So they end up getting married as a necessity.
Yeah.
And then it goes terrible in the long run.
They were talking a lot about straight people for a movie about queer people.
Oh, I know. But I think it's because so much is based on, like, our society is so heteronormative. You know, like, everything is tailored for straight people. Like, even for us, there were so many, like, cake toppers that we couldn't use.
I know.
Because it was, like, bride and groom, and everything is Mr. and Mrs.
Well, it was Mr. and Mrs. If you go to Michael's, everything is Mr. and Mrs. That was really frustrating. Like, you can't just... Okay. But then there was also those cake toppers we really liked where they were the silhouettes, and it was, like, the people with the cats, and it was like you'd have your cats on it. You couldn't get it as two girls.
Yep.
You could get it as two guys.
Yep.
But you couldn't get it as two girls.
Yeah.
Fucking frustrating.
So it's really interesting to see a movie that relies so heavily on the heteronormative societal pressures while also opening itself up to be a movie that isn't about the sad lesbian story.
Yeah, I agree.
Or the coming out story.
Yeah.
You know?
That's why for me, there's almost like two movies. And at some point, it's like the movie starts as one movie. And it goes along and it starts getting intertwined with another movie. And then as it goes, the other movie pulls back and then it becomes this one movie. So it's these two narratives. And if you had pulled the Luce and Rachel thing out of everything else, I would have been all about it.
Yeah.
You know, the flower shop. I love the meanings of the flowers. They're really cute when they flirt and they don't know how they do it. And it's all this super... I love that. And I love the end. And I love how happy they are. But the fact that it's intermingled with this other thing is what makes this movie harder for me to watch.
Yeah. But also, we have to look at it from the perspective of the time.
I agree.
Where there wasn't a lot of WLW movies. Or a lot of really, like, out happy gay movies at all. So it is a pretty big step. And this is something that happens. I actually do know about three people who were happily married for a couple of years. And then they fell in love with women. And it was like,
It 100% happens.
Yeah.
I just don't like that it's become, like, a thing that it's, there's the quote-unquote straight girl who is married or has a partner.
Yeah.
And then meets this girl and it becomes all about infidelity.
Yeah.
Because that's her main issue, is that she wants to be with her, but she can't because she's married.
Yeah. And also, she just doesn't talk to her partner.
It's frustrating. But it I have to say, so looking at the time, this is what I was thinking. I looked this up a little bit. So the idea of the happy lesbian movie, this was 2005, right?
Yeah.
Debs came out in 2004.
Hmm.
So the movies existed, but for some reason, Debs was a less popular movie. It was more of an indie movie, whereas this one was a much more, like, a mainstream movie.
Yeah.
But this movie is wildly more popular than Debs.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So it's like the possibility was there, but I think it's the same thing I was talking about before, where in order to make it palatable for a wider audience, they had to have this relationship with the man in there in order to push it towards this happy ending. Otherwise, no one would have cared.
Yeah. And I mean, at least it is... You know, it is something that happens. It's not out of the ballpark of things that could happen, and all things considered, heck takes it pretty good.
Yeah.
Thank
God.
That
is huge. I agree. Yeah. But, like, it's just frustrating.
Well, it's like the other big lesbian movie is Carol. That one is also very much about infidelity.
You have a point, and I love that movie. So,
I'll give you that. And again, the time that Carol, like, the time that it's set in is also very different.
The thing with Carol is it's based on a book that was written a long time ago.
Yeah, no, and that's what I'm saying. Like, also in this, like...
I agree.
In the way
it is about infidelity. I know.
I know.
And it's such a double standard, but I don't understand why this one bothers me so much and Carol doesn't.
I think it's because of the time, like, the times that they were supposed to be set in.
I guess.
But also 2005, like, that was 14 years ago. Yeah, I feel like...
Things are very different.
Things are very different now. And...
Okay, but think about it this way. Can you name a happy lesbian movie?
Off the top of my head?
Off the top of your head from the last 5 years. That was mainstream.
No.
So,
Yeah. We don't have much. The gays don't have much.
It's like, even if you look at TV, there are happy queer relationships and lesbian relationships, but, you know, I used to write a lot of papers on it in school about, you know, queer media and queer TV, and the trend is actually going down.
Yeah.
Like, if you look at things like Grey's Anatomy, we had Arizona and Callie, and everybody was really excited about it.
And that shit.
They got burned. Divorced. But I just, there isn't, I can't think of a queer.
See, when you said queer movie in the last 5 years, the only WLW that I can think of, and I hate that I think of it because it's a fucking terrible movie, is Blue is the Warmest Color.
We're not even going to talk about Blue is the Warmest Color.
Which?
That movie doesn't end happy.
No, it doesn't. But that's the only movie that I could think of.
And that's not even in the last five years.
It wasn't?
No.
Oh, shit. My timeline is completely...
Pretty sure we watched Blue is the Warmest Color, like, around the same time we watched Imagine Me and You.
Oh, probably. But still, like...
I can't think of anything.
I can think of that movie. I can think of Carol.
Well,
Debs. I know, but I'm just mentioning movies out loud. There's those three. There's Incredibly True Adventures.
That's from the 90s.
Yeah, I know, but I can't think of any other...
From right now.
Big WLW movie.
Well, I mean, there's Disobedience, but I don't think that movie's happy.
I don't know. We're going to have to watch it and find out if people want us to watch it.
But I can't think of anything recent that...
Because even looking at that poll that we did for people to choose movies, we had But I'm a Cheerleader and Thelma and Louise. But I'm a Cheerleader does end up being happy.
But I'm a Cheerleader-ish. I would say it's a happy movie.
Yeah.
It's a hard movie sometimes, but it's sort of a camp movie, and it does end happy.
Yeah. And then Thelma and Louise is very much queering. It wasn't...
It's queering and it's sad. Yeah. So... But, like, so if you really look at the top queer movies, or women love WLW movies, like, let's look at the WLW movies from IMDb, just by thing. It's Debs, But I'm a Cheerleader, Kiss Me, Bound, Better Than Chocolate, Carol, Free Held, Blue is the Warmest Color, Below Her Mouth, and Concussion. Of these, have you ever heard of Below Her Mouth or Concussion? They're both from the 2016 and 2013. But the rest of these are like 1996, 1999, 2004.
And see, I think that is the other problem. I think that there's a huge problem in queer movies coming out and them not getting the publicity they deserve, except for Carol.
Yep.
And I'm pretty sure that one of the main reasons, I think that the first time I heard about that movie wasn't even because it was out. It was because that Harold, their lesbians thing on Twitter.
Yep.
And because we are on Twitter, I know so many people, like, in our real life friend group that haven't even heard of that movie.
No. I know.
And it did pretty good. I mean, I think this movie made about $500,000 and Carol made about $1 million.
I think Carol was also, it had that Oscar contender shit going on. So yeah. It was definitely
And it
more...
was Cate Blanchett that everybody knows.
Who,
and
Mickey Sarah also Paulson doesn't was there. Like...
I know. I'm the worst gay. Okay, so I took this quiz. Somebody on the KE fandom Twitter made a quiz, and I got that I was straight as a pole.
And I was...
A flaming homosexual.
A flaming homosexual.
So I think we balance each other out. But I also, there's so many things about the big queer things that I don't like. Kristen Stewart. I don't like Cate Blanchett. I love Sarah Paulson, though.
But that's because of Studio 60.
Which isn't even...
It's not American Horror Story or whatever, it's Studio 60. I think that has nothing to do with you and queer movies or things like that. It does have everything to do with you as a person. You don't like a lot of things that are popular.
Yeah, I don't.
You just have... And it's not because you're...
I deviate.
It's not even because you're, like, a hipster or, like, above it. Sometimes it is, especially when it comes to music. But, you know, it's just that you just don't like it.
Yeah. Like, there's just so much in pop culture that I don't like. Like, I remember I was part of the target audience for Twilight, and I could not have cared less.
Okay, that's a different thing. We're not going to dive in.
No, but you know what I mean, right?
I know.
And that was part of the reason that I got that I was straight as a pole in that quiz, was because I didn't care about Twilight. I didn't care about Cate Blanchett. And I didn't care about, what is that queer? Supercorp. You know? Like, I just fail at all queer things.
You don't fail. You just do it in your own way.
That's true. I did love Lost Girl, though.
You did love Lost Girl.
I loved it a lot. But yeah, I think that overall, I liked it better than the first time we watched it.
I support it as a film, and I can see why people like it, and it makes people happy.
Yeah. And I think that it's also good that it's not good that there is a character like Cooper, but that is a kind of person that does really exist.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that in this movie he was absolutely portrayed as an insufferable dick.
Yep.
And that he didn't get laid, and that Luce was always very straight up about, I'm not sleeping with you. I'm gay. I'm not interested in you whatsoever.
Yeah.
You're not going to make me flip, et cetera, et cetera. Like, he's not seen as a good character.
No.
And I appreciate that. I hate that he was in the movie in the first place, but I also know that that is life.
It's real.
People
yeah.
do exist that are like that. So I guess I'm going to do three favorite things to top this off. Happy Together was my absolute jam when I was 12.
Yep.
I absolutely love H and the fact that she asks things like, do penguins have knees? And I do also love You're a Wanker, number 69.
Oh, my God. So you love your own incorrect
No,
book.
I like You're a Wanker, number 9.
I have to say, I don't know if I can do a top three. I do just love the whole point, part of the movie that's them.
Yeah.
Okay, here's my
They make each other happy.
They make each other happy. Here's my favorite things about the movie. The meanings behind the flowers.
Mm-hmm.
That's my favorite thing. You know, this means it's over, but don't forget me. Or this means I dare you to love me. I love that stuff.
Yeah.
It's perfect for a movie like this. I also love the scene where they dance, the DDR.
The DDR scene.
And they're so happy. And then I love the ending.
Yeah.
I love the way it ends. It's very cute where they're the music and standing on the car and the yelling. It's perfect.
Yeah.
I love
also
that.
Do like that Heck got, like,
Heck
he went
okay.
out there and
yeah.
went for his dreams, which... Actually, going back, that is something that pissed me off, too, when he was like, well, what happened? And he was like, well, job and Rachel and life and Rachel, where it's like, you can still pursue your dreams with your partner. Just saying, go do it, gays. But he did have his own ending where he was fine. He was writing his book. He was doing what he wanted to do. And he was probably going to join the Mile High Club during that flight. So, you know, and I don't think anybody should have let Cooper near a baby, but here we are
yeah.
in the year 2019. And yeah, I mean, overall, I would give it probably like 7.5 Scout faces out of 10.
What does that even mean? Scout has a cranky bitch face.
Oh, no, I meant like I give it 7 Scouts of rating. 7.5 Scouts.
I think that mine went up. I think that if you focus a lot on the actual rom-com-y part of the two of them, I would put it probably about an 8.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. So thank you all for making us watch this movie again. I have to admit that when the movie was decided at the beginning of the month, we were both kind of scared
yeah.
to watch it because we thought that we were going to come here and talk to you about how much we still hated this movie. And that we were going to get in trouble with multiple fandoms, and that was going to be terrible. But I'm glad that we're giving certain movies a second chance. We are very, very different people 6 years later, so it's great to revisit
yeah.
movies. I know that sometimes it does happen to us where we have a favorite show, and we go back and we're like, ooh, God, that was actually quite terrible.
Yeah.
These characters are terrible, but always worth a second viewing. Because we change as people and the world changes.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Thanks for making us watch this movie again. I think it is definitely something that I would be open to watching again.
Yeah. It's definitely a happy movie to watch. So.
Yeah. And even though I don't like rom-coms, it still gets 7.5 Scout faces.
Do you hear that? You're a rating system.
Yeah.
She doesn't look impressed. That doesn't bode well for your rating system.
That's fine. That's okay. Maybe we could have a different rating system for movies that we really, really, really like. But we'll see. So yeah, I'm excited to see what's going to come up next. Our next Movie Club Sunday will be October 25th. No, that's a lie. That's a Friday. October 27th. So we'll see how that goes. Hopefully we get some suggestions for spooky movies. That would be fun.
Yeah.
Like Halloween-y movies. And... our podcast is going to be kind of weird from now until probably the week of the 20th. Our episodes are going to be a little bit different because
yeah.
we are getting married and family's coming soon, very soon. And then my mom is staying for 2 weeks, so
we're also going to Rock the Ring so I can see Tess of Virtue.
Yes, we are. And so I think that's it. Our next couple of episodes will probably be like Q&As.
Or quizzy ones. You know what we should do? Ones?
What?
We should take the Which J&J quiz, are you?
Oh, yeah, we're going to do that.
On thing?
Yeah, we're going to do that next week. So if you have any suggestions or any questions, we are going to open that up for everybody. Anything you want to know, anything you want us to give an opinion on, make us read a quick short story or watch an episode of TV and we'll give you our thoughts. We'll figure something out, put it up on the internet so all of you can participate. And yeah. Thanks again for listening.
Sorry we talked about straight people so much.
Well, we kind of had to in this case.
What do you think, Scout?
Ow! Okay. I think it's time to go. Bye.
Bye. So it's for the eye of the beholder.